calling the Tri-City Tipsnet. Calling the Tri-City Tipsnet for Wednesday, December 4th, 2019. Good evening. Welcome to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tipsnet. This is Kilo Charlie 1, Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim and I'm located in Groton, Connecticut. I will be your net control station for this evening. Members in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club, membership rather, in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club is not necessary for participation. All licensed radio amateurs are welcome to check into the net. Those that do not wish to check in are certainly welcome to listen. This net operates on the 147.060 MHz repeater with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. If needed, the secondary is 146.97, also a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. The net is held each Wednesday evening starting at 7 p.m. local time with various net controllers on a rotating basis. This net is intended to provide an informal operating environment for new operators as well as for experienced amateurs. The purpose of this net is to provide a venue for presenting questions and obtaining answers and advice related to amateur radio, and also to provide good fellowship among amateur radio operators and to encourage the use of good operating procedures. Let me reset the repeater. The TIPSnet is a directed open net, and that means we'll call for a round of check-ins, and when we have everyone checked in, we'll go down through the list for comments and questions. During the check-in, please state if you have any questions for the net. We'll ask you for your questions after everyone's checked in. There are three sections to the TIPSnet. The first, the one I just described, is the open net with rounds of questions and comments. Following that will be a second section for announcements about upcoming events and items of interest. And finally, a third section where there's an opportunity for those that wish to swap, sell, or are looking for amateur radio-related items. Unless otherwise directed, all communications should be directed to the net control station. When checking into the net, please say, "This is," and then release the mic button and listen to ensure no one else has called at the same time you have. Then slowly give your call sign phonetically, along with your name and location, and if you have a comment or question. This is Kilo Charlie 1, Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim, and I'm located in Groton, and I'm your NAT control station for this evening. We'll start taking check-ins now. Please come with your call sign slowly.
Here is Alpha 6 Papa Delta Golf. My name is Kevin. I'm located in Norwich, and I think I will have a couple of comments and questions to share during the course of the net with our predominant topic tonight.
This is Kilo 1 Delta Charlie Tango, Dave and Preston. No questions at this time. Anxiously awaiting for the topic of the first Wednesday tip. Yeah. Back to net.
Here is.
November Kilo, 1 Victor. Steve, Coventry. Nothing yet.
Check-ins, please call now. Okay, very good. I think we have enough to start with a good round of comments and what have you. As Kevin alluded to, this is the first Wednesday of the month, and as we are starting this out, we had discussed previously, and I posted on the TriCityArc.net webpage, the first topic, or the topic for the first Wednesday of the month for December, is going to be, do you do anything special to prepare your antennas or equipment for winter? And do you have any stories or experiences to share from previous winters? So that's the general theme. Having said that, I do want to make sure that anybody that would like to call in has a question about something entirely different that's perfectly acceptable. That's what we're here for, and that's what we enjoy challenges and what have you. So I'll make a quick addition to my comment about what I do to prepare. One of the first things I do is when it looks like it's going to be well below freezing outside, I take the remote head off of my mobile unit in the car and I bring it inside. I think it's probably designed to withstand most temperatures, but I figure why not? It's something that I just decided to do. I've got a couple of other things, but I'll wait to see what other people have. So let's go to the next person on the list and see what he thinks about our topic and what questions or comments he may have. Kevin, K6PDG, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Tim, and good to hear you. I guess that's better than being on the floor. KA6PDG, well, a couple of thoughts on the topic, and later on I'll have a question which inadvertently does fit rather nicely with tonight's topic. But as you're saying, Tim, we all have things we do to get ready for winter. I think in my mind, too, of when hurricane season gets going, there are similar things that might go through amateurs' minds. In terms of what I do, and fairly basic, really, is I like to make sure that all the antennas are working properly, and that the frequencies, that my radios obviously are working well, including the scanner, the public service scanner. So making sure that it's functioning. Let me reset. Functioning and that frequencies are programmed in correctly or to my liking. The other big thing I always seem to do at the beginning of winter and at the beginning of hurricane season is to kind of test out my antennas, put them through their paces, try and work a few stations on simplex, check the in when I'm participating in nets on nearby repeaters, checking people on the input to see if I can copy them on simplex, that sort of thing. Make sure that the antenna for the public service scanner is working correctly, and things like that. So kind of basic in one sense, but maybe the salient points would be checking antennas and frequencies, and emergency power is the other thing I'll bring up later. Just checking simplex, too, as a way of testing the antennas. KA6PDG back to net, and either next time or at some point during the net, I want to talk about batteries, because I'm having some issues, and I think it fits into the topic.
Well, thank you, Kevin. Some very good suggestions and comments there. You got me thinking about HF antennas outside, and with winter storms, sometimes, you know, we've seen where you get that wet, you get ice on trees and what have you, and I wonder if people are prepared with their HF antennas for ice, the weight of the ice to be loaded on antennas. But let's move on to somebody who might know something about that or something else about winter or inclement weather and what we can do to prepare. Dave, K1DCT, your thoughts, please.
All right, thank you, Jim. Good evening to you and all those on the net. Well, I don't know. I guess either I'm never prepared or always prepared, but it seems like I'm always doing something. As far as antennas go, I only have two HF antennas up, and the 2 meter antenna has been up there for, I'm going to say, greater than 30 years, so it probably should be replaced, but it seems to still function okay, so I don't mess with it. As far as the HF antennas, my NFED goes out to one end is at the tower and the other end goes out to a tree. And if a big storm is coming, because it's tied securely off to the tree, I do go out and slack that line. Or if it's really going to be bad, I will lower it right down. Take it out of the air, just keep it from getting whipped around. And my inverted V, also apex at the tower, and both legs go out, and I use the cheapest rope I can find to tie those off. So that's something I can do at ground level, versus, you know, if it whips around and snaps the securing product at the top of the tower and it's freezing or less or more, depending which way you want to look at that. Climbing the tower is out of the question, but standing out in the snow and putting a new piece of sheet line on the end that I can secure from the ground is how I do it. In fact, I just had to secure one broke that little windstorm we had the other week. One leg broke off, so went out with another piece of cheap rope, put it back up, and wait for next time. So that's what I do. As far as your Tim, you're bringing in the control heads. That's probably not a bad idea. Those LCDs. Get unhappy in the cold weather. Back to net, K1DCJ.
Thank you, Dave, for your comments. And that's true. I've been talking about how do you prepare the HF antennas and whatnot for the inclement weather and storms and all that. And certainly, lowering them or adding more slack is a very good suggestion, even if it means you can't use the HF radio during the peak of the storm. It's better to save the antenna than to try and challenge it. Talking about the LCD screens, I have noticed that the LCD screen on the radio in my car recovers very quickly and works very well, even in really cold weather, whereas the LCD screen on my Kenwood D710, when it's really cold out, you can see that the LCDs don't want to change very quickly, and sometimes it's hard to even read what frequency they might be scanning through. So that's a good point. And as far as your 2 meter antenna, yeah, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's my thought. Of course, you might want to have a spare kicking around just in case, but still, that's great. And let's move on to Steve, see what his thoughts are. I know he's no stranger to outside elements on his antenna and what have you. And K1V, this is Net Control, KC1TWR.
NK1V, some interesting tips. I usually, one thing I need to do this weekend, which I neglected prior, I got a little more snow than I had initially expected. Both of my large dipoles of different styles have, I used a bucket with rocks in it, with the carabiner to, so as things move, it can go up and down and kick around the yard and stuff. Well, usually, like last year, I'd take some of the rocks out because as the snow falls and gets on the cover of the bucket, it kind of changes the weight, which puts a little more stress on the antenna. So I kind of go on the light side with that because I'd rather have them sagging a little bit. And then, because everything kind of weighs down. do want to do that. I may actually get a different, like a milk jug or something more that the snow can slide off of a little bit better, because that seems to be a little bit issue. So that's one thing I will address. And yeah, other than that, like on the VHF side of things, I have several antennas that I switch back and forth with between radios I use for, you know, scanning and so on. I just try to pay a little more attention to how they're performing, you know, SWR and stuff, do a little more checking, a little more visual. I try to, when there's daylight and I come home, I try to do just a quick look and see if there's any wires hanging in odd places, that kind of thing. It does require a little more maintenance and, like, have a backup, you know, so it's good to have a backup of everything, and I have a couple things that switch around, you know, I can do from the inside, which is nice to be inside this time of year. Back to that, NK1V.
Another good, interesting viewpoint on how to prepare. You're talking about getting milk jug and whatnot. Made me think about, we had made some roasted vegetables, and my wife had picked up some, you know, disposable, baking sheets type of things, and it dawned on me taking something like that and cutting apart a wedge shape out of it to then furl around in a coil, not a coil, but in a cone shape. That might also serve to give the snow something to slide off of, especially if you were to wax it or you know, put on something like the Rain-X and what have you, something slippery that the snow would actually fall off. But we're at the bottom of the list. This is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipNet. All are welcome to join or listen in if you wish. If there's any stations that would like to join now, please call. Go back to the top of the list, and for Kevin, this might be a good time to talk about batteries. My thought about batteries is to make sure that if you have an HT, that you use AA batteries or what have you in a pinch, number one, actually go find that. Make sure it's where you think it is, unlike me, where it took me better part of a day to find it. Secondly, also check your AA battery supply. And when you buy new ones, make sure you rotate your stock. Those are my thoughts and advice. But let's see what Kevin has, because he sounded like he needed some help battery-wise. So Kevin, KA6PDG, this is Net Control, KC1TWR.
Okay, very good. And before I get started, I think it's Jerry, KC1KLW. Somebody is trying to check in, but not being heard because they're on the Norwich repeater. So if you're trying to check in, make sure that you're on the 706 repeater. I think it might have been Jerry, and he might have been transmitting on the B side of his radio or whatever. I've done it, so I know it happens. And pretty sure it was his voice. All right, let's see. Thanks for the AA battery. That is another thing I check, is my supply of AA batteries. The handheld radios, handheld antennas, mag mount antennas, just make sure all that stuff is clean and working. Do I have adapters and all that? And thank you also, Tim, for mentioning HF. Funny story, at least I thought it was kind of amusing. Let me reset. On the underwater sound lab net in the mornings, who was talking, I think it was after the most recent snow that we had. Well, it must have been, because that's the first significant snow we've had. And whatever type of antenna he has, he feeds it with a ladder line or window line, I think. And he said he somehow got that tied off to a tree branch, and when the tree branch is laden with snow, it gets heavy, and the ladder line goes way down to the ground. Doesn't touch the ground, but it goes down to a few feet off the ground. And when the snow melts and is gone from the trees, the ladder line goes back up where it's supposed to be. So maybe Mother Nature helps take care of us. All right, batteries, let me reset. So basically, I got a new HF rig, the ICOM 7200, which on transmit draws about 20 amps. The book says 22. People I've talked to have used the rig say about 20 amps on transmit. I do power the entire shack off of a battery, and Tim, you got it for me, so you're familiar with what it is. It's a small, we'll call it a golf cart type battery, and all the battery says on it is 182 watts. Well, doing the math at 13.8 volts, that comes out to something like a mere 14 or 15 amp hours. It's being charged by a 2-amp trickle charger. And I like that arrangement, but I need to take a step up. Let me reset. In a charging system with a little more oomph. And the thing that I'm learning is that batteries are a lot more expensive than I thought, since I don't have a car. and so I guess I'm looking for suggestions on where one might get a deal on batteries. I need to have a battery that is pretty much maintenance free. I'm not good with things like, I'd like to have a situation where I'm not worried about fumes, don't have to put water in it, don't have to do anything to it. It just sits there, it works. I've had some suggestions about using a system where I have a power supply that's running the radio and charging the battery at the same time, and I can flip a switch and it'll stop charging the battery, and I can cycle the battery. And little arrangements like that, and there's certainly nothing wrong with those suggestions, but if I can keep doing something like I'm doing where I don't have to think about it, it's there. Now, that being said, I did have an incident during the last year where there were construction crews working in the apartment, putting a frame on the door and a new door in and stuff, and for reasons that only the good Lord knows, disconnected my battery from the charger, and I didn't know about it till all the radios started dying, and I had to get somebody to give me a hand. So there is something to be said for, well, if that happens, then you could just flip a switch and you'd be running the radios up the power supply. So again, the suggestions I've gotten are valid. I think I've sort of covered everything. KA6PDG, back to Nat, otherwise I'll just ramble on.
Interesting comments there. Knowing what you have for a battery right now, I guess the question I would have for you real quick is, if the power goes out, will that battery supply you with what you need until you think the power will come back on, or are you looking also for a better, higher capacity battery to last longer? So, just a quick question back to you, Kevin.
That clear? Yes, I would like to find a higher capacity battery that would last longer and be capable of a little bit more use, even though, as you know, I don't lose power often, but if I do and it happens to be a long duration event, I'm not saying I necessarily plan to run any NetZol. That's always possible in an emergency situation, but I would like to have a comfortable margin, maybe 50 amp hours, maybe 75 amp hours. I'm pretty ignorant about batteries. The other thing is, I'm told that to charge and cycle the battery properly, you're looking at something like delivering with the power supply that's charging the battery an amperage level equivalent to 10% of the battery's capacity. So if it's a 50 amp hour battery, you probably would use a 5 amp charger or power supply to charge the battery. And that's something I've been told by somebody reliable, but be curious what people think. Thanks, Tim. That took a few thousand words to answer.
Okay, my thought, that is just a quick thought to throw up for consideration, is that once you do get the next battery, you might want to consider a power gate. There's no switch to flip or anything else. It automatically delivers AC power to the radio, and then if the AC power drops, it automatically switches to the other connection, which goes directly to the battery. So that way the battery is always being used, but on the same token, if the power drops out, you don't even know it. It just flips right over. But anyhow, before we go on to the next person, you mentioned that Jerry might be trying to call in. So, KC1KLW, are you out there, and would you like to check in at this time?
Thank you, Tim, and thank you, Kevin. Yes, I would like to check in, KC1KLW, and yes, I was on the other side of the radio trying to check in. Silly me. Anyhow, I've been listening into the conversation, and I'm intrigued, and I've been looking up some information for Kevin about batteries, and I have a catalog that I'm going to have to share with him to get him up to speed on what's available for batteries. Okay, back to net.
Okay, thank you, Jerry, and I've added you to the list. We'll go down through the other people on the list and come back to you again before we get to the bottom. So with everything being said, let's move to Dave after hearing all of this and see if he has any thoughts or suggestions. K1DCT, this is Tri-City Amateur Radio Club, TipsNet, Net Control, KC1TWR.
All right, well, I'm certainly no battery expert. I do have a 100 amp hour battery here that came out of a fire alarm system. It was actually brand new, and they had to replace it because nobody dated the battery, so fire inspector, marshal, asked when the batteries were put in, nobody could say because nobody dated them. So I had to take them out. And, so I have this 100 amp hour sealed lead acid battery. So there's no water, there's nothing to add. When it goes bad, it'll go in the recycle pile. So that would be one suggestion, is some sort of sealed lead acid, because these batteries are made if a fire alarm system is on, battery power to run the system for, if my memory is correct, run it for 24 hours on an unalarmed system versus 30 minutes. I have to look back at my notes, but in full alarm, so with horns and sirens, etc. So, it's made to be charged a lot. That's what happens to these batteries. So, this one, as giant as it is, I really only use to run this radio, 2 meters, a scanner, and to charge a few various things. But then I also have an A&A engineering battery charger that I keep it topped off with. So it's quite capable of running my HF brakes if I need to. I have the proper connectors. I can disconnect from the power supply and with some alligator clips and clip on the old-fashioned way. Totally non-ARIES compliant. So, but you know, good to have a good sized battery, but you do need to give it a little cycle time. So you don't want to oversize it, and then you're not using it all. So that's about all I have on that. The only other maybe suggestion is some of these batteries that they use for like these little scooters that people, you know, have mobility issues. Check into some of those batteries. Back to net, K1DCC.
Thank you, Dave. And it's been a little while since we last had a real call out, so I'll do another one real quick. This is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net. All radio amateur operators are welcome to join. If anybody would like to join the conversation, please call now.
K1IKE.
Okay, that recognizes show, K1IKE. Any further check-ins, please call now.
Andrew, KB1WXD.
Okay, I believe I also have Andrew, KB1WXD. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, very good. Any further check-ins, please call now. Okay, I've added you two to the list. We're in the middle of the list. We're still working our way down. So next we're going to go to Steve, K1V. You've heard all this discussion about batteries. Your thoughts, please.
K1D. Yeah, batteries. I have two. I just came across them. I'm always looking, and well, I like the scooter idea. I always wondered about those, you know, the electric wheelchair batteries and stuff. They seem like they'd be for a home station. You know, I'm not sure they'd be good for necessarily for portable operation, but it's like Kevin's situation, something sealed that does. I mean, I have two very large golf car batteries. They're actually. We're in like one of those scissor lifts, and they're lead acid and require maintenance, and they're 6-volt, tremendous amount of amp hours. I forget what they actually are, and everything in my shack goes through a large aluminum plate in the floor, and all my coax connectors and the voltage from that and everything. So the batteries are actually outside, but the charger is inside. And I generally, like right now, I'm running off the batteries. I always, other than my my bigger HF rig, I'll run because it, you know, it has its own power supply, and I'll run that because the amp, you know, the amp needs 110. I don't have the ability to run the amp, so that setup I'll run off of commercial power. But I have a full station that's running off of the battery power. And I just leave one of those maintainers going. It's not even an expensive one. I monitor the voltage. I have a, you know, gauge and stuff. Keep an eye on that. And in the event of, like, last week or, you know, someone smacks a pole or something, there's a long-term power outage, and I'm using this stuff, let me reset. I will hit it with the regular kind of, you know, automotive battery charger. I'll let it slam it, you know, get it back up and stabilize, and then put it back on the maintainer. But for the most part, you know, a night's worth of doing anything on the radio doesn't really take it down that much, and the maintainer just keeps up with it, and it has different rates and stuff. You know, it's a fancy little thing. And I've actually put in, talking about being unprepared, prepared, some recent power outage. I have lights outside that I can operate from inside my shack because it's out by where my shed is, where my generator is, and it all works well. I never put a light in the shack, and I did that this week because I was stumbling around looking for flashlights and all that kind of stuff and couldn't. It was just interesting. And so now I got that. And then talking about smaller batteries, I just received today from Amazon a new battery charger for AA's and AAA's. And I got a bunch of AA's, and I got some AAA's coming. So that's kind of a thing, part of the whole preparing for winter. winter and everything, and you know, it just gets expensive putting and all them little flashlights, you know, constantly trying to keep up with the batteries. Back to that, NK1B.
Thank you, Steve, and your comment about the smaller batteries reminded me that one of the pieces of advice I've heard is if you're not going to use a flashlight for a while or some other device, take the batteries out, you know, prevent them from leaking and damaging the equipment. But we'll go ahead and move on to Jerry, KC1KLW. Do you have any more comments concerning batteries or any other questions to bring to the crowd? This is Net Control, KC1TWR.
Thank you, Tim. Yes, I'm going to do some research here, and I found that we can go with some, Kevin can go with some Gel-Tec type batteries, no maintenance, and they have something like a 2-year warranty on it, and it can go up as high as 74 amp hours, and they, well, actually it can go 225 amp hours, but that is cost prohibitive. But the 74 amp hour is not too bad, and it's manageable, I guess, at 280 some odd dollars. But there are options out there, so not to worry.
Okay, very good. Thank you for doing the research, and we'll move on now to Joe, K1IKE. Any thoughts on batteries or any other questions you'd like to bring to TIPSnet?
K1IKE, good evening to all. Let me turn my scanner off here. I use a boat battery here from a sailboat. My neighbor works for a marina, and in the fall here, they take out the batteries and he tests them, and usually when they replace them all, good and bad, to a new string. So I've got one here that's probably about 70% efficiency from what it is, but it's 100 and something ampere hour. I don't remember exactly. I use a power gate from West Mountain. There are other ones out there. It automatically switches me to the backup. As a matter of fact, if I reach down here, let me see if it works. I haven't tried it. I just switched it off. I'm on battery backup now. There's no relay. There's nothing of that sort. There's other ones that'll do the same thing. The West Mountain one will keep the battery charged at a reasonable rate. I think the maximum on one of them is like 10 amps, so you can't overcharge a cell. The newer one they have, which I'm about to buy one of them, it's called, let me reset. They have a new one that was rather expensive. It's about $180, but it's good for all chemistry batteries. You can set it to the type of chemistry cell you have, and it'll keep it properly charged. I like it. It's relatively mindless. It's there. It works. You can forget the thing. It keeps the battery topped off. It has a very small amount of resistance when you go to battery backup, so you're not losing a lot of power in the diode that's in there. And that's about all I have to say from here. And yes, a light for the shack. That's something that I don't have, which I've been meaning to get an LED strip and put it under the counter here, and I completely forgot about it until somebody just mentioned it here tonight. It's a good thing. It draws minimum power, and it lights the shack up. It's really nice. Back to net control, K1IKE.
Very good. Good advice there, and thank you for describing your situation and giving us the test, the power gate. That's very good. By the way, I have heard that some LED strips can actually produce some RF, so you're probably already aware of that on top of it. Okay, we'll move to the last one on the list right now. Andrew, KB1WXD, any comments?
Thanks. Yeah, actually, I just got a prefab garage and this last week finished making it completely off-grid, a full 30-amp inverter. As far as the kind of battery, if you're looking for portable, the best option you're going to get as far as energy density to weight is lithium iron phosphate batteries, or LIFE batteries. They're going to put out, if you get a 6 amp hour battery, you can draw upwards of 15 amps for that for half hour, somewhere around there. If you're doing a low draw, you can put them in parallel and run for days. Besides, so they're meant to be drawn down pretty far, especially compared to lead acid batteries. Most lead acid batteries, unless they're a deep cycle, do not like to be pulled down below 50% of their capacity, or they lose their total lifetime capacity. And the deep cycle ones are significantly more expensive than the regular ones, so sometimes by hundreds. And as far as, sorry, I don't remember his name, the scooter batteries, some of those actually are sealed case lithium battery packs. If you can get your hands on those are pretty much battery gold. They can go for $800 a pop and run a lot of things for quite a while. Your best bet is charging though, like I did with the garage here. Grab a small 100 watt solar panel and a little $30 solar controller, and you don't ever have to worry about maintaining or anything. It operates like a car alternator in that it never actually fully charges it. It brings it up to about 13 volts and it just sits there, and when the sun goes down it's going to self-discharge, just simply because of the nature of a lead acid battery. It's going to constantly do small quarter cycles out of it and never really have to worry about it until the battery finally expires, you know, year and a half, 2 years later. Maybe more if you don't use it much.
Thank you, Andrew. Very good information. Concerning the solar panel, then there's different technologies on solar panels. Some are better or worse than others. But that's all very good. Okay, we're at the bottom of the list, and it's about a quarter up, so I'm going to do one final call out for this section. As you know, there are three sections of TIPSnet: the discussion we've been having, then the second section, which is for announcements, and then the third for any swaps or buy or sell of amateur radio equipment. So anyone else that would like to join the Amateur Radio Club TIPSnet, please call now.
Here it is. Whiskey 1, Julie, Oscar Papa. I have no questions. I just sat down, so I'm not even sure what the topic is. Just checking in. W1GOP.
Okay, Matt recognizes John. W1JOP. Any further check-ins? We're going to run down through the list again real quick. We usually try and wrap up this portion of the net by about 5 of to give us time for the second and third sections. But let's go round robin to Kevin, who is the one that initiated the conversation about batteries. See if any of this has been helpful to him. KA6PDG, AC1TWR.
Well, Tim, thanks everybody, Andrew. Thanks for your thoughts and ideas. And just for the record, I'm not concerned with portable used, really. This is for the shack, since I don't drive. I don't have a vehicle, and you all should be very happy about that. By the way, one more comment, super quick, and that is that I did not realize until Jerry pointed it out to me that they make bigger batteries for the Baofeng handhelds. So I now own one of those. I thought you were always stuck with the... Well, I have the UV5R, but probably for all the Baofeng handhelds. They apparently make bigger batteries, and they're reasonably priced, I gather. So thanks, everybody. K6PDG, back to net control.
Okay, thank you, Kevin. And next we move to Dave, K1DCT from Net Control.
All right, well, I appreciate all the information here. Picked up a few tidbits.
Andrew seems to be pretty knowledgeable in this area. So, and yes, the scooter batteries can be quite pricey, but they do take a good deep cycle and last a long time. And I know Kevin's pockets are bottomless. So back to net, K1DC2.
Thank you, Dave. And yeah, I've seen kids on scooters around here. I'll have to start keeping my eye open and see if they leave it. I doubt it, though. Okay, next on to Steve in K1B. This is net control, KC1TWR.
Sneaky enough, and you go to a ham fest, there's scooters scooting around all over the place. If you're quick enough, you might be able to grab yourself a battery. But yeah, Andrew's got some good advice. Yeah, batteries are always a tough. They're so, especially nowadays, there's so many technologies out there and charging methods. And the only reason I have the batteries that I run is because the price was free. I had to do some work to get them, but not a big deal. And they're very good, and they're outside on the outside of the shack. So I adjusted my situation to what I had, which we often do in this hobby. That's all I got for this round. Back to net, and K1B.
Thank you, Steve, and definitely the right price for batteries. I know the ones that I received were from a EMC sand storage cabinet that was being decommissioned, and they had just replaced the batteries. So it was like, you're going to throw the whole cabinet out? Can I take the batteries? And they said yes. So, okay, wonderful. Okay, let's move on to Jerry, see what thoughts he may have. KC1KLW, this is KC1TWR.
Yes, good evening. I have no more comments, except that I've learned a few things as well about batteries, and I appreciate all the good information. All right. Good evening, everyone. KC1KLW, back to net.
Well, thank you, Jerry. And next we'll go to Joe and see if he has any comments for this last round of the first section of TIPSnet. K1IKE, this is KC1TWR.
K1IKE, no, I'm just listening here. I'm just doing a little paperwork here, but interesting comments tonight, and I won't hold it. Back to net, K1IKE.
Okay, very good. Yeah, this round's actually going faster than I anticipated, but that's fine. Next we'll go on to Andrew, see if he has any other advice for us or any questions. KB1WXD, this is KC1TWR. Off for a bit, or maybe he's still working in a shack. So we'll give it another try. KB1WXD, Andrew, are you there? This is KC1TWR. Okay, we'll move on to the final contestant, W1JOP. John, I know that we didn't talk very much this round, but we've been, just to put it all in a nutshell, been talking about prepare. What do you do to prepare for winter for your equipment, for your antennas, and or do you have any stories of previous winters with using stories or not? And then we were talking about batteries for people's shacks in order to maintain their equipment during power outages. So any thoughts on that or any other questions or comments? W1JOP, this is KC1TWR.
I have emergency, W1JOP, I have emergency backup, but not for the radio, believe it or not. I should, but I don't. All I use is lithium-ion batteries, laptop, and a few other portable radios I have. I obviously SMI on because you can kind of charge them and discharge them as you please. It's not like the old NICADs that you had to totally discharge if you didn't line memory on them. And as far as getting stuff ready for the winter, I did, when I lived in East Lyme, I did the typical visual inspection, and if I felt well enough, I would actually go up on the roof and inspect a lot closer. But that's all I would do now that my stuff's internal all inside. I really don't have to worry about winter. Back to that, well, other than snow and all the ice that comes with non-antenna stuff. Anyway, back to that, W1JOB.
Thank you, John, and hopefully someday you'll be able to get something going outside. Any additional check-ins before we go into the next two sections, please call now. Okay, we'll now start the second section of TIPSnet. Does anyone have any announcements about upcoming events, an item, or items of interest? Please call now.
A6PDG with two items, I believe.
Okay, go ahead, Kevin.
And good job running the net as always. First one, I was surprised nobody brought this up last night, or last week. I was dragging my feet because I thought somebody would. But anyway, a reminder that the holiday potluck being coordinated by the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club will be on Saturday, December the 14th. Saturday the 14th from 1 until 4 in the afternoon at the Red Cross Chapter Building in Montville. All amateurs and their guests are welcome and bring something to share. Of course, it's non-alcoholic, but bring a food item or something to share. I believe the club is providing, if I remember right, the paper goods and plasticware and cups and that kind of thing. So that again, any questions, Tri-City Amateur Radio Club, and the data again, December 14, Saturday, 1 to 4 p.m. The second announcement, let me reset. Tom Scott, WA2RYV, is firing off a technician class, amateur radio license class. A technician class, license class. That's going to be on Wednesday nights, and it's going to begin on Wednesday, January 8th. Wednesday, January 8th. From 6 until 9 p.m. on Wednesday nights. That, coincidentally, will also be at the Red Cross Building in Montville. I don't have any details on whether you're expected to bring your license manual or pay a little administrative fee. I don't have any of that information. You could direct those inquiries to WA2RYV. If you know anybody who wants to get their tech license and get into amateur radio, or if you're listening out there on a scanner or something and thinking about getting your ham license, consider Wednesday nights, 6 to 9, starting on January 8th. I imagine it'll go for 8 or 9 weeks. That's usually the length that they go. K6PDG, nothing further.
Okay, very good. Kevin, anyone, I have some announcements too, but anyone has questions or comments about the two announcements from Kevin, please call now. Okay, just a reminder that tomorrow night is the Scrams Amateur Radio Club meeting at 7 o'clock at the Waterford Police Station in the conference room. No, you do not have to go through a metal detector in order to get into it. The Tri-City Amateur Radio Club will hold their meeting next Tuesday night, the 10th, at that same Red Cross office on Route 32 in Huntersville. The Tri-City Club has changed their meeting time. They now meet at 7 p.m. So it'll be 7 p.m. next Tuesday. And on a social comment, there is a group of amateur radio operators that meet every Thursday morning promptly at 7 o'clock at the Old Times restaurant from 7 to about 8 for breakfast and good fellowship. There is also another amateur radio breakfast that takes place each Saturday morning starting at 8 o'clock at the Uncasville Diner on Route 32. So we've got those two social events going. Any questions or comments about any of these announcements, please call now. Okay, now for the third section of the TIPSnet. Is there anyone that wishes to swap, sell, or looking for amateur radio-related items? Please call now.
This is... Kilo 1, Delta Charlie Tango.
Okay, go ahead, Dave.
All right, thanks, Tim. Pretty small request, but I'm looking for a double-ended male BNC. So two male BNCs. I have plenty female. So if somebody has one who would like to swap for something else, I have a pretty wide range of connectors, but I seem to be lacking that one, and I really don't want to go online and pay more for shipping than I'm paying for the device. So if somebody has one, you can get a hold of me. I'm good on QRZ, and sometimes I'm even good right here, K1DCJ.
Anyone with questions or comments for Dave, for the item he's looking for, please call now.
6PDJ.
Go ahead, Kevin, you can call Dave directly.
Sure, I have one. I think I came upon it the other day. I'll take a look and let you know. KA6PDJ.
All right, very good, Kevin. I appreciate that. And if you want to swap something else that maybe you don't have, let me know when you come up with it. K1DCT, back to that.
Thank you, Brendan. Did you say you want double male or double female?
Double male. I have plenty of the females. I should be so lucky.
Strike my comment. I do not have a double male. I have a double female. KA6PDG, back to net. Sorry for the goof.
No problem, Kevin. I had to stop and think myself for a minute exactly, you know, what it looks like. I also have a bunch of double females. I'm gonna look through my bag of tricks and see if I have a double male. I know I've seen one, but I don't know if that was last week or a couple of years ago. So I'll let you know if I find anything. Anyone else have any comments on this third section before we close out the net?
Good evening.
The time is 8 p.m. on Wednesday, December 4.
Okay, my apologies. We ran a little bit over. I'm going to go ahead and close the net. I'd like to thanks to all that participated in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TIPSnet, and thanks to all who stood by and listened as we conducted the net. Tri-City Amateur Radio Club sponsors this net and has their meeting on the second Tuesday of each month at the American Red Cross office at number 1031 on Route 32 in Montville, Connecticut. Meetings start at 7:37 p.m. and are open to all interested persons, licensed or not. Information about the club may be found at www.tricityarc.com. And I should mention that the first Wednesday of each month will have a theme, and that will be posted on the TriCityArc.com, that's ARC.com webpage, about a week in advance of the tip set. We thank John W1AN for the use of this repeater, and this net will meet again next Wednesday at 7 p.m. on this frequency. Bring your questions. I now return the repeater to regular amateur use. This is Kilo Charlie 1, Tango Whiskey Romeo. Good evening, and 73.